Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
Adjust the tie.
Yeah, we about to go out
here. Yeah. All right, let's kick it off.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. College football. You know, coming into the season, people would have said USC, UCLA, Arizona State. All of those would have had a chance to be atop the Pac-12. But after this past weekend, it's the Utah Running Utes.
Utes, watch out. The Utes are back, people. And they have a really good team. I saw them beat Oregon up. They got a good defense. I like the quarterback. He like 6'7" or something. Got a nice arm. Actually got some speed. Can run. They could win that conference easy.
How about
so
Freeman?
They really got a nice team.
The running back. What's the name? Booker. Booker. I'm sorry. I call him Freeman. Devonta Booker.
Yeah, I mean. They got a good overall like team. They got they don't have like no slow, you know, scheme. Because a lot of times they ran some read option stuff. Like I said, the 6'7" guy, you know, he take about one step and cover about 2 yards. So, but he was moving pretty good. And they just, not that Oregon is even good, but they just destroyed them.
Right. Staying with the Pac-12, kind of on a kind of somber note, Steve Sarkisian, the head coach of the USC Trojans, is being forced to take an indefinite leave of absence. He was going, I mean, I guess he's still going to rehab for his alcoholism. Apparently, he was said to be drunk during the Arizona State game. Been drunk here recently in team meetings, according to players.
Okay, that means you got a bad coaching staff. Because I know you can't make drunks and grown people do a lot, but somebody should have said something and shouldn't have let you get on the field and be like, look, bro, let me go ahead and coach. We'll just say you sick, and that just don't even make sense.
I mean, they could have put him up in the booth, something, you know.
Yeah, don't let him go out there like that, because you're going to lose your job, too, if he loses it.
Right. Hopefully he gets that figured out. It's a sad situation. You know, you don't ever want to see somebody go through something like that. But from sad
my
motto to...
My motto is, if you don't start drinking, you don't have to worry about stopping.
Amen. All right, go ahead. Amen. going from sad to hilarious.
Oh, my.
Well, I guess it's sad for Rutgers. But did you see the Rutgers and Michigan State game? So, Michigan State's up 31-24. A couple, you know, seconds are ticking away. Rutgers has the ball. They're driving. They come up to the line. Quarterback hikes it, spikes it to stop the clock. One problem.
Here's somebody that's putting the bounce in there.
Fourth down. Yeah. Spike the ball on fourth down, and that ain't how you do that there.
Who didn't know the down and distance? See, you know, you know
that's what
distance.
Right. You know, I mean, game situations. No time and score. No down and distance. No, thank you.
Oh, that don't even make sense.
Let's see. Coming up this week for the third time in SEC history, we'll have two matchups of top 10 AP poll teams. We have Florida and the LSU Tigers. Number 8 Florida against number 6 LSU. And then The number 9 Texas A&M Aggies will host Alabama at number 10.
Okay, so I haven't seen Texas A&M. Somebody gonna have to give me an update.
Undefeated.
Well, that don't mean that.
I wasn't. But I mean, the quarterback is playing really well. They have a great receiving core. Running back is doing well. Defense is really stepping up for them this year. It's helped them out because they've always had those offensive weapons.
So who did they beat? Auburn without, who else
had they? They beat State.
State ain't good.
Arizona State, which was a decent.
Okay.
Of course, that was on a neutral field, I believe, if I remember correctly. You know, this will be a test for them. This is going to be their first real test.
Okay.
But still, hey, 5-0 is 5-0.
5-0 is 5-0.
So says the Gators.
Okay, that's not. We 6-0, sir.
I know.
Both eligible. Thank you.
Let's see. Final four picks. I just wrote down real quickly this morning. For me, I kept Ohio State in there. I dropped TCU out, and I put Baylor, Alabama, and finish it off with Utah. And I just feel like if they can keep going, they have a good shot.
So. Florida, Utah, TCU, and Michigan.
I left Florida out on purpose so you could put them in.
Don't do me no favor. Don't do me no favors early on a Monday morning.
Staying with college sports, college basketball, the Louisville Strippers. I mean, the Louisville
Stop
Cardinals.
It. Stop it.
I'm sorry. apparently, there is a book that has been released. It's named Breaking Cardinal Rules, Basketball and the Escort Queen. It's written by Katina Powell, who alleges that a staff member from a previous staff member, he's no longer with the team, but he was director of operations at the time, would have her and some other girls, other strippers, be escorted into the dorms during recruit visits.
Off. Yeah. Take it off.
They didn't immediately come out and comment on it, but once now that they have, you know, you got Rick Pitino and the AD both denying that they knew anything about any of this, or, you know, and even the AD went so far as to say if the guy, the director of operations, I think his name's Andre, I can't think of his last name, but if he is even found to be involved, the AD would be completely shocked, apparently, is what his comments were. You know, Rick ain't got the cleanest reputation. You know, he just come through a couple of years ago having you know, the little affair in the restroom at the restaurant with the little girl who, by the way,
as I
listened to a lot of sports radio, I found that the girl he had, you know, his little thing with in that nasty restaurant bathroom is now married to his strength coach. So, you know, there's ways to sweep stuff under the rug. I guess that's one.
Somebody else, so she'll be happy.
Wow. Who was apparently the lookout during that whole situation. Anyway, I'm getting too deep.
Yeah, she'll be happy. You can still be around the team. Don't give it to him. Look here. People have been doing this for years. I don't want to throw no school under the bus, but I know of schools and guys that were recruited, you know, and just like, oh, yeah, they took us to the strip club and they did this and that. And so Louisville ain't the first team and they won't be the last. Because you get these little 18-year-olds that ain't never really been out of their little town. Show them a little girl here, there, naked girl, they lose their mind.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Katz, ESPN college basketball reporter, yeah, I mean, he basically laid it out what could happen if all this is coming to be true. You know, Rick Pitino would be subject to suspension. You'd have a level one violation, which is not good.
This is my question. Why question though. Who said that having a giving a stripper is illegal? Prostitution is one thing, but letting him somebody see or somebody strip is what, he 18? Yeah. I think when you 18, you can get in a strip club. So what's the problem, people?
I don't know.
She said yes.
Yeah, she said yes when she got that money.
She said yes, it was not under coercion. And she ain't do no more than strip. Maybe lap dance too, as long as people ain't having no sexual favors. I don't see what the problem is.
Well, as long as they're
18.
The NCAA, they can make a case out of anything.
NCAA needs to stop.
Yeah. They may be.
I'm sorry, them.
Yeah, so, well, let's go ahead and make that our first break. On the other side, we'll get into a little NFL talk and discuss a little bit about the WNBA Finals, which will be Game 5.
So they won?
No, Game 5 this Wednesday.
Oh, okay, because I know I saw somebody get that buzzer beat.
We'll get that and a little bit more on the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show. Thank you for listening.
What time is it? What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. NFL, Seattle Seahawks are really having some problems closing out games, and a lot of people wondering why with the team that they have. I mean, yesterday they lost in overtime to the Bengals. Just seem to really be struggling, just finishing out wins. They were up 17 at one point.
Well, Michael Jackson said, "Tell them that is human nature. Why?"
But I see one of the biggest issues, the offensive line is terrible. Russell Wilson's running for his life every time he hikes the ball. Lucky for them, he can.
And throw the ball accurately.
Right, and does a great job of that. But that ain't going to be able to sustain that.
I haven't seen them, but the game that I stopped watching, it was terrible. But they had flipped over because all these games went into overtime, and that was one of them. So
yeah.
At the end, like you said, he was under duress. But I mean, their defense that's supposed to be so good, they gave up a lot of points. I mean, if your team can get you 24 points, your defense got to hold it down.
Yeah, you got to find a way to stop people. Let's see, jumping from the struggling to the great, Atlanta Falcons are still undefeated.
Yeah, they just barely won too. I don't know. It's always something. I guess they got a new coach, so maybe somebody can put some faith in them. But
who used to be the defensive coordinator for the Seahawks, Dan Quinn?
Yeah, I was wondering why I knew his face. Anywho, in their division before I started just going
the Falcons. Oh, the Falcons, they got the Panthers, who are also undefeated, Tampa Bay, who is now 2-3, and the Saints.
Oh, Lord, the Saints. Okay, so yeah, they could win their division. With ease. Because Cam, it's all on Cam for the Panthers. As he goes, they'll go. Because they really don't. They don't have a great offense. They all right, and their defense is solid. But yeah, they can win. They should be fine. Barring injury.
I mean, and you got Jameis Winston, who is a rookie quarterback, who's going to be up and down for Tampa Bay. So, you know, they'll have games where they look great. They'll have games where they look like garbage. So goes the NFL. So.
Yeah,
as long as Julio Jones can stay healthy, their running game has been solid with Devonta Freeman. Matt Ryan's playing great. I mean, as long as they can keep everybody healthy, they should be fine.
Yeah, they should be good. They don't.
Looking forward to tonight's game. Yeah, San Diego Chargers against the Steelers. Antonio Gates for the Chargers will be his first game back after his 4-game suspension for PED use. An article on ESPN.com about how him and Phillip Rivers kind of like the Stockton and Malone of the NFL. And I don't know if that's just them being, because they do have really good chemistry. And I don't know if that's where they were focusing. My focus on reading that article was thinking, okay, well, they're talking about the fact that they've been so great together and have never won a championship.
Well, that's what I was about to say. That ain't good. I don't want to be that. Because they was good, but they ain't never win anything. So, don't compare me to them.
Yeah, don't put me out there like that.
Can we just go ahead and just very quickly?
Go ahead.
Because we're going to go ahead and have a memorial service for the 49ers and for the Saints. And we're just going to pray for y'all, and we're going to pray that y'all can get a good pick, get some good players out here that's coming out of college. And the good thing is, you know, the NFL don't do that stupidness like the NBA with this. You got a chance to get the number one pick. If you offer, you get it. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and say rest in peace,
because
they terrible. Thank y'all.
Yeah. I appreciate Drew Brees throwing that touchdown late in the game, to end the game to Brandon Cooks, which, you know, that helped fantasy out real nicely. Thank you for that. But other than that, yeah, the Saints are unraveling at the seams. 49ers are just not good in general.
They shouldn't be good. Again, you got some dude that was an offensive position coach that is now a head coach. And I ain't saying it's all his fault.
No, but
come on, man.
Yeah.
How can he help Cam? He can't. Who is the offensive coordinator? I don't even think I know. Look, we're going to lose a lot of games.
Our defensive coordinator is Eric Mangini. For the 49ers, and he was terrible with the Jets. I ain't gonna say terrible, but he didn't do anything.
Thank you. So, we awful. Look, what are we, 1-4? Lord,
yeah.
This is, I can't even, Lord, the Detroit Lions, Lord, where I been? I didn't know they was 0-5.
Yeah, they looking like they might have another 0-16 run. Because Stafford, they had 7 straight possessions. 5 of them was turnovers yesterday against the Cardinals. Cardinals defense is very good.
They ain't played 5 teams that they can. Okay, well, let's put them in the memorial service too, right fast. Didn't realize they needed to be there. They Hurst just pulled up late to the service. Yeah, they're going to be there. You know, teams like Miami and Jacksonville, and they nobody expect them to do anything anyway. This right. is too ridiculous. Right. 0-5.
Yeah. Sticking with the professional level, jumping to another sport, the WNBA is in their finals. Game 5, and the deciding Game 5 will be Wednesday night. 8 p.m. Eastern, ESPN2. Got the Minnesota Lynx and Indiana Fever. The Lynx have Maya Moore, Sylvia Fowles, Simone Augustus. Indiana Fever is running with Tamika Catchings, Elena Larkins, Marissa Coleman. It's been a very, you know, back and forth series. It's been really good basketball, actually. Let's see. Friend of the podcast, Debbie Antonelli, a famed sportscaster, tweeted after last night's Fever win to force Game 5. The Game 5, good for the league, players, and fans, the product and the level of the play, the in-game adjustments, the offense, all great. But why do we have to wait until Wednesday? I agree. why have the 3-day wait? I mean, I understand they're going from one city to the next, but you don't need 3 days.
But is 3 days really going to be that big of a deal? Like, it's not a week. It'll give them some more rest.
Mm.
And so both teams will be fresh. And there shouldn't be no excuses.
Shouldn't affect the level of play, which has been very good in the series.
Nobody's going to get out. Like, if anything, it should make them play better. Because they should get Monday off. They should have been off. They should be off today. And come back in Tuesday, do a little tweaking or whatever. Go ahead and get in the ice tub and get ready to go, please.
Speaking from your experiences.
Sounds good to me. I never had the itinerary. They just tell you where to go.
Well,
but yeah, I'm torn because actually I like Kitchens more than like I like Maya more. So I'm a root for Kitchens.
Yeah, she's on the downside of her career. She has already made it very clear that she's going to retire after the Olympics next summer. This will be a great way for her to, you know, have her little swan song.
I've liked her for a long time. I like the way she plays. She's not one of them just ones. She's good on defensive end. She's not one of those, it's all about me players. Not that it's a lot of them, but some of them are vain and they think they're playing in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like her game. And I like Maya more too, but I like hers more.
Well, that's going to lead us to our next break. We'll get into a little TV and entertainment on the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show. Thank you for listening. Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Empire, Season 2, Episode 3 this past week. I want to kick it off with probably the best one-liner. Cookie's always good for some one-liners, but the best one-liner from the episode actually came from Anika, Boo Boo Kitty, whatever you want to call her, talking to Cookie. She said, sarcastically, she said, "You are badder than all the animals whose prints populated your wardrobe." I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, Lord. Boo Boo Kitty said that to who?
Cookie. and I'm looking at a picture here now.
Was it a compliment or was it a slight?
Trying to get back in the good graces, but it was an offhand slap as well. You know, it was kind of both. But let's see. I'm looking at a picture here now from this past episode. They had a welcome back party for Lucius, who was out of jail now. And Cookie found out about it from Anika, obviously. Because Lucius is trying to get everybody to come back in the Empire. Or, you know, basically, he's going to, you know, get rid of Maul, you know, in his own way. So he's had... No. Everybody's turning against him. Everybody's, you know, turning him down. So,
okay.
Got Anika, who had a meeting with Lucius privately, because he found out that Anika was no longer part of the takeover group. So Anika, still burning from all that Lucius has done from her, meets with Cookie afterwards and tells her they're having a welcome back party at that little Leviticus bar or whatever. And Cookie shows up. Now, she must have took his comment about why you looking like Mr. T seriously, because she come to this thing with her hair, three different colors. She had gold all up and down. I'm looking at the picture. It's gold all up and down her outfit. I mean, she looked like the female version of Mr. T.
She's going too much.
Go Cookie.
Watch how it works.
But this episode focused a lot on Andre's, you know, still trying to get back under the good graces of Lucius. He wants to come back in the Empire. You know, he feels like that's where he belongs. He don't want to start over again with this new dynasty deal. Focuses a lot on his mental health issues. And it brings to light a lot of stuff. Lucius is almost somewhat, it almost seems like he's scared to bring Andre back into the fold. And you get flashbacks of him and his mother, who was played by Kelly Rowland, and it shows that she also is affected by bipolar disorder, and you know how he handled that as a child. So it's almost like he's more scared to bring Andre back because he doesn't know what Andre will do. Yeah, and worried about, you know, Andre tells him that he's having him and the white girl are having a child together, and Lucius' first comments, well, were you worried about his, you know, his chances of about having, you know, his mental illness? And Andre says, well, you know, we have no history of that in the family, but little does he know.
Right.
Let's see. Hakeem is trying to put together the little girl group of the little Mexicans, or Hispanic, whatever you want to call them, excuse me. Becky G is the lead singer in the group. I mean, she's a famous singer. I've never heard any of her work, but, you know, let's see. Yeah, I
love some playing.
The episode ends with Lucius pretty much going one up on Dynasty, where, you know, they're all there waiting on this girl group to be announced on Sway's radio station. Lucius has bought the radio station and also has turned the lead singer. So he's taking the lead singer out the group, and she's now part of Empire. So that's how the episode ends. Don't know where they're going to go from here, but I like that. I feel like the first episode was to kind of this season. The first episode was to kind of tie up all the loose ends that was caused from last season's finale. And I think they're finally starting to get into a little bit more storytelling. And
I was like, I'm about to start watching the mess. That's what's going to happen. Not that anybody's going to care.
And then we got Scandal. Scandal, the past week, focused on Olivia telling the world that she was Fitz's mistress. And, you know,
Olivia, go sit yourself down somewhere.
Melly obviously was not happy by that. She enlists Cyrus to come in and to kind of be her, you know, to take Olivia down, basically. They got a list of people that Olivia has been with big people in the Washington D.C. area. Basically, want to make her the whore of the White House, the whore of
Washington D.C.
Right, and
the capital city.
Mm-hmm. So what happens is
she only deal with people with power. If you notice,
right,
the other dude was a senator. You know, Jake had some semblance of power, so she don't deal with no scrubs.
Right. So, yeah, you got all that going on, and toward the end of the episode, Fitz is just awful. And I don't know if they're just trying to portray him that way, but he was back and forth on Melly once again, and I mean, at the end of the episode, he just basically kicks her out the White House again. Tells her, you know, we're going to have this interview, blah, blah, where we come out and, you know, pretty much deny everything. She's down for it, but, you know, obviously Cyrus is there to kind of negotiate her part on what she's going to get out of doing this. Going back and forth, blah, 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 you know, small talk. Let's see. Just kind of reading some of the reviews, just kind of get an idea because I haven't seen it. You know, I've seen it once, but
I think it's falling off. She's gonna have to do something to shock us.
It's falling off. The episode ends with Abby, the redhead that's now the White House correspondent for the media, Olivia gives her the go-ahead to take that list of people that Olivia's been with that Cyrus drew up as part of the negotiations for Melly. Because Fitz ain't having Cyrus either. He ain't fooling with Cyrus. So Olivia gives Abby the go-ahead to go into the media and basically trash her. Trash her name. You know, pull out that list and
you know,
they flipped it. She did it. She flipped. They flipped it on Cyrus, and they took that list and what that was this real bargaining chip to try and get Melly a bunch of things. Olivia flipped it on, and the episode ends. I don't really understand what they were talking about, but Jake goes and visits Daddy Pope in prison. So that's how the episode is in. You know, it ends like that. So I'm sure Daddy Pope must be.
He didn't find his way out of jail for the little incident.
No, he's still in there. Eli Pope is still in there.
Well, again, she gonna have to bring Mama Pope back.
Mama always brings it down when she comes around.
Yeah, she gonna have to bring Mama Pope back, and then make everybody have to work together to try to decide what to do with Mama and Daddy Pope or something.
So I'm interested to see where they go. They haven't lost my interest yet, but they could soon if they don't get it together.
Look, I'm one good show away from just leaving it all. Right now, the only thing that I've been watching is Blacklist.
Tell us about it.
I love Reddington. He's a bad man. Even though he's literally a bad man, he's a badder than good man. And yeah, that's my steady right now is Blacklist. I ain't really watched nothing else wholeheartedly in the NCIS Los Angeles, but yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. You got anything else before we?
Do we have any good movies coming out? I know you got until Christmas when
Concussion come out.
Concussion. I don't know about this Martian, or Martian, or whatever. No boy getting left in space. That's some craziness.
Yeah.
Hotel Transylvania. I didn't like the promo for it. So, and I actually liked the first little cartoon movie, but Peter Pan, according to Rotten Tomatoes, he wasn't good. So, The Intern, it looked like it could be funny. You know, the old man.
Yeah, Robert De Niro. I think that has the ability to be a pretty good movie.
Other than that, I mean, I ain't seen The Perfect Guy. I don't think it was good. After all the hype, nobody ever really talked about it. So I don't know how that went.
I don't know.
Guess we have to wait for Christmas.
Yeah, for Oscar season to kick up.
I mean, yeah, I don't see anything. X-Men Apocalypse, the record line. Oh, never mind. I thought they were Shannon.
They're supposed to have another Captain America coming out in 2016, I believe.
Oh, shucks. I mean, I have to check up on that. You know I like the Captain.
Yeah, I mean, and I can't remember what it's going to be called, but they're supposed to have another one in 2016, which will lead into the next...
Captain America the first?
Right. Which will lead into the next Avengers movie.
What's the next one supposed to be? Do we know?
I don't think there's been a plot on it yet. I think it's like 2017-18.
What hasn't happened? Well, see, now they got Ant-Man, they can actually probably get some of the real Avenger people together.
Yeah.
And Hulk don't run off, so Hulk don't run off. We don't know where he is. He'll be back.
Well, I think that's going to wrap up our show for today.
I thought we were finished. Yeah, go ahead.
We got to wrap it up. But, anyway, like always, I am your co-host, Brian McKay, and I am with...
T, it's great to be a Florida Gator Davis.
Somebody please be Florida so I can stop hearing about this. Somebody, please, LSU, Leonard Fournette, please run, slap over.
How dare you cheer for
LSU?
That is a no-no.
That's some
blasphemy,
ain't it?
Yes, you know better than that.
Well, anyway, that's going to be our show. This has been the Mac and T Show Podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian Nikkei and T Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.